This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell. Good evening. Welcome to the program. Glad you are with us. Brandon House in for Mike Lindell, who's out on business. And again, we're going to be joined tonight by people that are trying to uncover, well, what just happened in the elections, the 2022 midterms. Tonight, we'll be joined by Angela out of Alabama. She was the first person I interviewed at the desk at the Moment of Truth Summit as I was going through all the states. Angela for Alabama, Alabama, she was up number one. She'll join us along with Philip and Melissa and another attorney. We're going to be loaded up here with attorneys. Then later we're going to hear from about three people out of South Dakota. What is going on in South Dakota? So we got a full broadcast for you tonight here on Lindell TV. Don't forget again, folks, we are brought to you by you. You are our sponsor. If you appreciate all we're doing, we need your support by going to MyPillow.com, using that promo code L77 for savings. Please do the bulk of your Christmas shopping at either MyPillow.com or MyStore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs started by Mike Lindell. Use that powerful promo code L77 for savings, and we sure appreciate it. All right, joining me now is Angela. Let me start out with Angela first. Angela, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brandon.
Wow, that's what you call feedback right there. All right, here we go. How you doing, Angela?
I'm good. How about you, Brandon?
Good, thank you.
Is that okay?
Yeah, you're good. All right,
Okay. So tell
me, Angela, who are we about to hear from?
We're about to hear from the Alabama attorneys that represented Mike's case here in Alabama, Philip and Melissa. They're awesome. Jay couldn't be with us tonight, but he's awesome and amazing. And they have really, really tried to help us here in Alabama to really get our elected officials to do the right thing. And I'm really, really thankful for these two, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Angela, you guys had a press conference yesterday, correct? In Montgomery, Alabama?
Yes, we did. We did a press conference on the steps of the state Supreme Court. And in Montgomery.
Are you guys pushing a case toward the state Supreme Court?
Yes, we filed the appeal. So Philip and Melissa will probably be able to go into a little bit more detail of that. But yes, they filed the appeal last night to the state Supreme Court here.
But this is a real grassroots effort, isn't it?
Yes, it's taking all of us. It's been a really amazing experience. And we just keep fighting and finding other things. And we're not going to give up, and we will not stop. Even if the state Supreme Court chooses not to take this, we're going to just keep pushing for other things that come to us. And we're going to keep fighting. So
good for you, Angela. All right, let's bring in Philip. Philip, thanks for joining us tonight. Philip is an attorney that works with Mike Lindell. Again, folks, just want to go back to the fact that if you appreciate this broadcast and this network and all that Mike's doing, this is why, again, we need your support over at MyPillow.com with that promo code L77. Also, don't forget about the LindellLegalFund.org. 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 Because, again, folks, Mike is got a whole team of attorneys fighting on behalf of you, the American people. And I can't talk about some things, but I just got a briefing tonight from another activist that we've interviewed a lot, briefing me on what's going on in their state, totally different state. But the information is not yet ready to be brought out. But again, it goes back to all that Mike is doing to try to uncover and is uncovering what is wrong with our, well, elections, sadly. So again, please remember that support at LindellLegalFund.org and, of course, MyPillow.com, where you support us and get something in return using that code L77. Philip, welcome to the Lindell Report. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, Brandon. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me about this case. I mean, should we go ahead and add the other attorneys while we're at it? We can add
absolutely.
Let's add in Melissa. And who else do I have tonight, Philip, besides Melissa?
Well, we have Melissa. Jay couldn't make it. Just to be clear, there are other great attorneys on the case too. Kurt Olson. I think everybody on Frank's Speech knows Kurt Olson. And then also Andrew Parker is
on
the case.
Yeah,
and Jay Hinton, who can't be. So we have this thing well lawyered for sure.
And who's the one on the phone? So I'm sorry.
Well, Rebecca Rogers is on the phone. She's one of the clients. She's not an attorney, but she's very sharp, and you'll definitely want to hear from her.
Okay, we're going to call Rebecca right now, but we can add in Melissa. Let's just go ahead and do another screen and add in Melissa. So the two attorneys are Philip and Melissa that are with us, and then Angela, of course, is our activist, and then Rebecca is another one of the patriots on the ground, correct? Have I got everybody right?
You got it right.
All right.
You got it.
And I see Melissa there in the bottom left corner. Melissa, thank you for joining us tonight. You're an attorney as well.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, there's a lot of people to keep track of here in a short period of time. But now that we've got the game plan of who's on first and who's on second, let's go to you, Philip, and then we'll hear from Melissa. By the way, great name, Melissa. That's my wife's name, so great name.
Oh.
Philip, tell me what this case is all about.
Well, it's about a lot, but it's basically about the fact that we're voting on election machines here in Alabama that are illegal. They're uncertified, which is very important. They also accept counterfeit fake ballots. That's a problem. And then finally, they're wide open to the internet. And it's very troubling because I'll focus on one of those issues because I talked about it more yesterday, and that is the Brandon, kind of the short story, our voting system has to be certified, and it was certified last December, about 11 months ago. After that certification, the Secretary of State added a piece to the voting system called laptops. And these laptops are very important because in each county, they have a laptop. And then, of course, they have precincts and voting locations around the county, as you might imagine. The tabulators, they put into them a thumb drive to load out the results from each tabulator. Those thumb drives are then taken physically to one location in the county where they're put into one by one to a laptop in order to collate the votes, to aggregate them all together. So that laptop, you could argue, is one of the most important, if not the most important points, security points to counting the vote and keeping the vote secure. Well, when the laptop was sent out, and Brandon, I sent in the letter, and I apologize. I sent it a little bit late, my friend, so you may not have the document. But the letter that went with the laptops from the Secretary of State specifically claimed.
Wait a minute.
Oh, there you go. Good.
Say, wait a minute. We're on the ball here. What
are
you talking
about?
You
guys are sharp.
What you talking about, Willis? We got it.
Very good. Well, you can see from the letter, guys, the Secretary of State, when he sent the laptops, he said they've been certified already. Here's the laptop. That's a problem. But then he said that they are, quote, standalone computers with no network capabilities. In another place, he claimed that they were, quote, hardened. The other defendant in the case, Judge Bill English, said that these new laptops that we're talking about, Brandon, do not have the capability of being connected to the internet. That would be great if it were true. The problem is, if you look at the additional document that I sent to you, Brandon, okay. That is the purchase order that came with the computer to the localities, the different counties. If you look at that document, it shows what? It shows that these laptops are not hardened, that they're wide open to the internet in two different places.
Is this purchase order you're talking about right here?
That's the purchase order, exactly. If you look at it and scan down about two-thirds of the way where it's highlighted, blow that up.
Boom! Intel Wi-Fi.
And?
Bluetooth 5.1.
Two different ways to get in. I talked to our expert, Clay Parikh. He said, this is horrible. You can hack it in two ways and boost it. So the laptops, which are the central portion of the voting system, are not secure. They're wide open to the internet. This is a problem, to say the least, especially given what we've seen with these crazy anomalies in the election this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, John Merrill, I thought he's the one that told Mike Lindell, according to Mike's multiple reports with us, that, you know, everything is fine here in China, or in China. Ha! Everything's fine here in Alabama. I said China because I was about to bring up the... Freudian slip
China
there.
John.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up because isn't Merrill the one tied back to China?
Yes.
Yeah, Melissa might be able to speak to that better than I can. That's what I've heard, so we'll perhaps Melissa has...
Go ahead, Melissa. That's yours.
Oh, there's media reports where he's a representative of sorts, you know, tied in with China. So yes, there is relationships. So I know that he made, you know, trips to China. So there's definitely a relationship.
Here's one. Yes. Alabama political reporter, Secretary of State named chairman of the USHCA Economic Development Committee. And this has to do with China. Merrill's role as chairman will focus on establishing relationships with government, business, education stakeholders, blah, 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 blah. The United States Heartland China Association has recently named Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill as the chairman of the group's Economic Development Committee. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. A simple Google search can connect our Secretary of State to China. Absolutely. And, you know, it's what Philip was talking about with these laptops. So the certification process went through in December of 21. These laptops were purchased in January of 22. And yet they're trying to represent that, no, the whole system is certified. And as Philip said, this is an integral part of the system. And the law is really clear as to inspections and certifications. And one thing that we really did is we dug into the state laws. And it really is obvious when we were looking at this, there's something was wrong. Everything was being rubber stamped. There was no meaningful inspections or certifications that complied with the law. So we get this information. There's one county commissioner in Crenshaw County, Mr. Merrill Sport, was actually interested in, wait a minute, are they not hardened? Are they not certified like they're supposed to be, like we're told? So we obtained this information. We go to the hearing, we present it, it's irrefutable, right? The Attorney General's office at first really didn't know that there were laptops were used. They said, no, they don't require certification. So at the beginning of our hearing, they actually admit, no, they haven't been in certified, they don't have to be certified. And then later in the hearing, they say, no, it's clear that the letter that you brought up, this shows that it is certified, even though it was purchased after the certification period. It was so obvious that our machines and our systems are not compliant with state law. And yet we're told that we don't have standing. So really you would think that our attorney general, he's the one who's supposed to make sure that our public officials comply with the law. Well, the attorney general is saying, no, you don't have standing. Well, if we don't have standing, then who does? If the attorney general's office is not gonna make sure that our voting systems are compliant with state law, and if the people aren't able to go to their court and get redress for this, then who is? So we're pretty confident, we really are, that the Supreme Court is going to do the right thing and let us proceed with this case. Because mind you, we were able to prove that our systems are not even certified with state law before we even got to the discovery phase of this case.
Oh, so wow. Wait a minute. Let me stop you right there, Melissa. You're saying that before you even got to the discovery case part of the case, you were able to prove that your voting machines do not comply with state law.
Yes, we proved it was indisputable in the hearing that we had, where it was later ruled that we didn't have standing, but we were able to prove prior to any discovery that our machines are not compliant with state law. Yes.
And what machine companies are you using mostly in Alabama?
Alabama uses ES and S machines. And ironically, the ones who do the inspections and certifications are the vendors. So the vendors, of course, stand to make a lot of money off of these systems being certified for use in Alabama. Well, our state law is clear that no one can do the inspection and certification if they stand to benefit monetarily. Well, it is the vendors who is doing the inspections. So we have violations all over the place. And I really encourage those of you in other states to dig into your state law. We were able to just do Google searches and see, even before we found this evidence, to see that, wait a minute, it really looks like they're rubber stamping things here. It doesn't look like there's any meaningful certification. We're able to look and see that there are people with financial interests who are doing these inspections. And so straight, clear state law violations and proving that in court, irrefutably, we were still told that we don't have standing to proceed.
Wow. I want to go back to this letter by John Merrill dated January 10th, 2022, and have you respond to this, Melissa, as Phil has. He's telling this judge, Judge Tate, who's a Crenshaw County judge of probate, the certification also provided that an ERM tabulation computer be a standalone computer that is not connected to a network of any kind. You guys are saying that is false. Now, for the Secretary of...
Yes. Yeah, and let me point out. So look on there. It says the certification on December 6th of 2021, that letter sent out in January. The purchase order of these laptops was in January. It is impossible that these laptops purchased in January were certified in December of 2021. And that was, it was indisputable there. The Attorney General's office had nothing to refute that fact. And yet they're saying that computers that weren't even purchased yet were certified in December.
Okay. Wow, you're good. All right, look at this. So let's go back to this letter. January 10th, 2022 is when the letter is sent. He's saying that this was all done on December 6th, 2021, that the Alabama Electronic Voting Committee certified an update to the election systems and software, ESNS electionware system, which affects the election reporting management computer that your county uses to gather precinct results into a single set of results. So he's saying that this occurred on December 6, 2021, but we go down to the purchase order and it's dated January 13th, 2022. So you're saying there's the documentation shows that he's either mistaken or being dishonest or what?
One or the other. Neither one is acceptable, but he's either mistaken or he's being dishonest, and neither one complies with state law, right?
And why does this judge, I mean, does this Judge Tate know this? And if so, why is he not, I mean, what can he do to the Secretary of State? Can he not fine the Secretary of State? Can he not hold him in contempt? I mean, if I were the judge and I got this sent to me and I wasn't being told the truth either by ignorance or by being less than honest, I would be a little upset that because I don't want to be somebody's fool.
Right. So Judge Tate is a probate judge, and there's 66 other probate judges other than Judge Tate. You know, this case was going forward, and unfortunately, the probate judges rely on the representations of John Merrill and the representations of the members of the Electronic Voting Committee, who are the defendants in our lawsuit. They rely on them. So really, the probate judges get documentation and they say, oh, okay, well, I see this letter. The letter says that it's certified. They don't think, they don't question that. And so they move forward with the machines that are given to them. So if it wasn't for, again, this one county commissioner in Crenshaw County, Mr. Merrill Sport, who said, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. So, and that's actually how we were obtained this information, is through the consent of this one county commissioner.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How did you get this purchase order and figure this out? And you're telling me it came through a county commissioner.
A county commissioner approved this information be given to us, yes.
And the county commissioner, of course, is involved along with the other county commissioners in allocating the funds for the voting in that precinct of his probably county, correct?
Yeah, you're correct. And then the county commissioners, they also rely on the representation of the Secretary of State's office, because they have some decision-making latitude as to what systems they're going to use. And so they chose to use the ESNS systems based upon John Merrill's representation that these systems are tested, inspected, and certified in accordance with state law. So everything really goes back to John Merrill, right? He's the main election official. And then, of course, the Electronic Voting Committee. But everyone else, the probate judges are the ones at each county. They're the election officials for that county. Well, then they rely on the information from John Merrill, from the Electronic Voting Committee. And again, this comes down to pieces of paper. Yes, everything is compliant with state law. So they take that, they use the voting machines, and they go forward with it.
Wow.
So, right. And we also found out when Clay Parikh, our expert, was actually meeting with the probate judge, and with Merrill Sport, found out that the judges really don't even have, they're not even able to obtain some of the information that they need to even make sure that their systems are secure. They're not even allowed to access a lot of that information. So really what we have is we have a chain link that the chain relies on the one in front of it to hold up. You know, John Merrill's the main chain. He says, yes, everything is secure. And then he sends out a letter. And then the county commissioners take that and they add a link and they said, okay, no, John Merrill says this is secure. And then they send it to the probate judges. So the probate judges look at that information and say, well, everybody else says it's secure. So then they employ the voting systems. When really, going back to state law, it is not compliant. And it's really disheartening that when we bring this information to our elected officials, to John Merrill, to the members of the Electronic Voting Committee, to our judges, we prove, and they had the opportunity. They had the opportunity to come in and say, no, you guys are wrong. Let me show you why these are inspected in accordance with state law and how they're certified in accordance with state law. And they couldn't do that. So we bring this information to our elected officials and to our courts, and we're told, well, you don't have standing to get this. You don't have standing to bring this claim. Well, so how do we check and make sure? How do we get the information? How do we get the certification reports? Well, people have made requests, and we're told that we're not allowed to have those because of election, you know, security. So there really is no way for the people of Alabama to check and make sure that these systems are compliant or these systems are secure, other than you got to take the word of our elected officials. Well, that's not good enough.
Phil, what a presentation. You want to comment and add to it?
Well, as bad as that is, there's more.
And why am I not surprised?
I think you've heard Angela's story, and I would suggest that she talk about it some, because in essence, she showed up and we're told how secure these machines are. It's kind of like safest election in history, right? If you say it enough times, they think people will believe it. Well, Angela showed up and she was like, I'd like to see how great these machines are. I'm going to come up with some janky fake ballot and run it through and see what happens. Lord, it took it. I mean, can you believe this? I don't know if you've heard Angela's story.
I think you ought to hear it.
It's shocking.
But I think we need to hear it again for new people and just for the historical record into one show before we go to Rebecca, who's holding. Angela, tell that story, please, again.
I just showed up at my machine, the testing, our public machine testing, I might add. And I had copied my absentee ballot and made 8 copies of it. And so I walk into the machine testing and I proceed to go up to the machine and try to feed in the first ballot when the first ballot would not, it wasn't going to fit. So I was like, oh crap. So I kind of freaked out a little bit, ran down the hall and cut it with scissors, ran back in there, and I had it videoed and everything. And I fed it through and it went through 8 times. I was shocked. So then I proceed to go and, tell my probate judge, who actually is the chairman of the electronic voting committee, believe it or not. And so he proceeds to tell me I need to go talk to the ESNS representative, which there goes the representative who proceeds to say, well, this would never happen because the numbers at the end of the night would not even out. And so anyway, he just kind of shoved me, to the side. I really honestly couldn't believe that 2 people in there, especially my elected official, was not willing to at least be like, oh, whoa, whoa, this needs to stop. This is crazy, and look into it. So anyway, from there, I didn't know what to do. I was just kind of like, whoa. So anyway, I held on to it for a little while. Mike broke it a little bit earlier back in May when that happened. But so anyway, just to tell you that, I mean, whether or not we're seeing it on the outside, I think we've actually scared them a little bit with this, because Merrill, our Secretary of State, went on the radio because it happened in another county as well. And he went on the radio talking about it, trying to refute it right before it got out. And then he also was, sort of making fun of us and because of the other guy that did it down in Baldwin County. So anyway, it's very sad that this is how we're treated. And I expected more from them, I guess. But, I know that we have them a little bit scared anyway, because I showed up to my public testing 2 weeks ago to a disclosure form that supposedly was brought or given to our probate judge by the attorney general for us to sign. I said I would not sign that, being a public testing, and he proceeded to tell me that my name would be given to the attorney general's office.
So they're trying to intimidate you, are they?
Just a little bit. Yes. Yes.
So you don't seem all that concerned, I can tell.
No, actually, I really thought about calling the attorney general's office the next day and just making sure that my name actually got given to them. I don't know. But it's kind of interesting, though, because I did try to get some information from some other counties, and 8 other counties I know for sure never had a disclosure form like that. So there's some things going around, that it's interesting. I don't know exactly what was going on with that, but I just know that was a little bit almost borderline illegal, honestly, to me, to have to sign a disclosure form. And if I was a registered voter in our county, and it was very interesting. So.
Absolutely. Thank you, Angela. Let's go to Melissa. Melissa has been holding my phone patiently. Melissa, tell us your role in all of this.
Rebecca.
I'm sorry. Melissa is the attorney. Rebecca, tell us your role in all this, Rebecca.
Yes, I am the executive director of Focus on America. We're a grassroots organization that just wants to uphold the Constitution. We felt like that wasn't being done, and there were some inconsistencies that a lot of our members had noticed in the election process. So we became a plaintiff in this lawsuit, and it is just mind-boggling that we supposedly, as John Merrill says, have the gold standard of voting machines, and that, you know, Georgia is right up there with us. Well, that tells you everything you want to know. If we're measuring ourselves against Georgia, we may be pretty good, but that's not saying a whole lot. So with that, you know, if it really and truly is the gold standard, then why don't we have these machines? Why can't the citizens, before a judge, have these machines and let the expert, our expert, Clay Parikh, why can't we prove, why can't we get them in front of the judge and prove that they actually do what they say they would do? If they really work, what's the problem?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Philip, where do we go from here? I mean, what is the makeup of the Alabama Supreme Court? How conservative is it? When will you find out if they take the case? And what's the timeline here?
Yeah, we filed the appeal. So this is the first brief that we filed. The other side will file their brief, and then we'll file a reply brief.
And let me ask you real quick, who is the other side? Who is the other side?
Sure, the other side is the Attorney General. And again, this goes to the question that Melissa was talking about that's very concerning, is that here you have the top two election officials not doing their job. It's undisputed, by the way. This is not lawyer talk. I mean, the law is clear. The facts are clear. They don't even dispute it in court. These machines are not certified. They accept fake ballots. That's not disputed. They're wide open to the internet. It's not disputed, even though they said they were not connected to the internet. They are. So this is all undisputed. And then the Attorney General comes along and says, well, it's my duty to defend the state. So every elected official we've dealt with won't address the problem when the facts are undisputed that these machines are illegal.
So let me ask you this. What would you do if you were the Attorney General? If you were the Attorney General, how would you respond?
Well, the Attorney General does have a job to defend the state. But if I were the Attorney General, I would look at the facts and I would say, guys, we have a problem. This is dishonest. We've told everybody these machines are secure. They're not secure. They accept fake ballots. What I would do if I were Attorney General is I would call up Melissa and myself and Jay Hinton and the other lawyers. And I'd say, guys, we got to get together and talk about this. We don't have to have a dispute. That's kind of interesting, Brandon, but just because you end up in court doesn't mean you have to stay there. Get together and settle the lawsuit. Go find out what happened in Georgia 2 years ago when these friendly lawsuits were filed and they were settled.
How were they settled, and how would you like to see it settled?
Well, what they did there was improper because the result they were ending up was illegal. But here it's the exact opposite. But they can come talk to us. They can come talk to us today, tomorrow, whenever, and we can work this out. And what we would say is, Mr. Attorney General, these machines are illegal. And if you agree that they are, and you will, then let's sit down together and find out a plan to bring the machines into compliance. And what we've said is, if you want to have voting machines, it's wrong. You don't need them. We have big nations like Israel and France in 2022 that don't use these insecure machines. But if you insist on using them, then we've got a plan. Let us count the paper as a backup and a confirmation on what the machine is telling you. And if you're so confident that the machine is wonderful, then there's no problem in us confirming it with a paper count. So that's what I would say to the Attorney General. And I would think if he was being faithful to his oath, that he would have to agree and he would go forward with this and enter into a settlement agreement so that we can make sure these machines are proper and legal and certified.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about ESNS? What is their responsibility in all this?
That's what the other thing, I'm glad you asked the question, Brandon, because, you know, when Angela was in Lee County, Auburn, and she ran this fake janky ballot through the machine and it took it, and she was shocked. She went and asked the defendant in this case, who happened to be there, which is very interesting that he was there, but she asked the defendant in this case, one of the top two election officials in our state, and says, look what happened, help me. He says, go talk to the vendor. Now, what I'd like to say is we didn't elect the vendor. We don't trust the vendor. We elect you and the officials in the state of Alabama. You report to us, and we want you to make sure we have honest elections, not subcontracted out to some vendor that we don't know who they are, who's paying them money. Now, I'm not making accusations, but we have no idea what's happening with these non-governmental actor vendors. So Judge English tells her, go talk to the vendor. She goes over to the vendor, and does the vendor say, oh my, I can't believe that happened, let's fix it? No, he blows her off, doesn't dispute that the machine accepts fake ballots, doesn't dispute it at all. Instead, he says, well, that would never happen in a real election. Well, it would if people ran ballots through, and if they cardboarded up the windows and kicked out the Republican poll workers as they did in 2020. So it's a major problem, Brandon, and we've got to have people with guts to fix it. And I think we have to continue to pray and ask God to do what only he can do, because it is frustrating when we see this amount of injustice.
So how long will it be before you get a decision by the Supreme Court as to today they're hearing your case, and when then would you be able to present your
sure.
case?
The case will be assembled with all the briefs in probably another 5-6 weeks. The court then has the option of granting us oral argument, which I hope and pray they do. I would love for us to have the opportunity to argue this case, because the facts are undisputed, as we've talked about, right? And then after that, the court can take as much time as they would like. It might be in the neighborhood of a few weeks, or it might be a couple months. But I would guess we'll probably see a ruling from the court perhaps in February or March. And that's depending, of course, on whether they grant oral argument.
And what do you think the chances is they will grant oral argument?
It's tough, because tons of cases get filed at these appellate courts and not many cases are orally argued. But this is one that I think should be.
What are you going to do if they don't hear it? What are you going to do?
Well, then we submit the briefs, which is what we'll already be doing. And then the court will still be able to rule on the briefs. There are 9 members of our Supreme Court. So, of course, we need 5 to rule in our favor to win this case.
So either way, they're going to have to hear your case.
Absolutely. The case is before them. The only question is whether we get to appear in person and orally argue the case.
Is this, again, I'm not a lawyer, so forgive me if this is an
sure.
ignorant question, but is this a case at some point ends up going to the U.S. Supreme Court if it doesn't go in your favor?
No, it's unlikely, because these are all state issues. And we pled it that way on purpose, because we wanted this to be a state law question.
Okay, so you stayed out of the federal courts.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So what's the makeup of your court? I mean, politically, where have they been? Left,
sure.
right, center?
All the members of our judiciary in Alabama are elected, and that's typically a good thing. So all 9 members of the Alabama Supreme Court are Republicans.
That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. Not all of them are conservative. And so I think I won't name names, but there are a couple that I have a lot of confidence in. I would say we ought to, I want to be careful, but we ought to be able to get to 5. You know, we ought to get to 9 based on the law and the facts in this case. I'll just say that.
Hmm. And what about ES&S? Have you heard from ES&S on this? And have you heard from John Merrill on this?
We have not. John Merrill, likes to go out and give interviews and insult people. And what I would say to John Merrill is, let's stick to the facts. And let's talk about the fact that these machines are not certified. They're wide open to the internet. When, John, you told the citizens of Alabama that these machines were secure, that they were hardened, they're not hardened. They're as hollow as Swiss cheese, and yet he's pushing them out, and we're voting on these machines. We voted on them 3 days ago, Brandon. These are the same machines. The justices on the Alabama Supreme Court went and voted on these insecure machines that are wide open.
Well,
to
their
hacking.
Elections, their elections are held on these machines.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Wow. All right. Closing comment by you, Melissa.
You know, I would just like to add that during the hearing, Judge English was present. He didn't testify, but he was present. He had an opportunity to go up on the stand and refute everything that we were saying about his dereliction of duty, about the machines being insecure. He's the head of the electronic voting committee. He was there, but he did not testify. John Merrill had the opportunity to get up on the stand and clear the record and show us where these machines were properly certified in accordance with state law. They didn't do that. So this isn't just us pushing forward just to be litigious. This is us pushing forward because we have no other choice, because we can't get the bare minimum information that we need from our elected officials for us to believe that our machines are at least secure to the state standards. Mm. So this is, you know, we are the Constitution gives us, the people, the power. It gives us, we don't have to go off a wink and a nod of our elected officials. And it seems that's what they want us to do. So we are doing what we have to do to make sure that the power stays with the people.
Mm. Rebecca, would you like to make a closing comment?
Yes, I would. I'd like to say that, you know, John Merrill is going out of office. Wes Allen is coming into office. With that being said, I would like to ask Wes Allen what he intends to do with this purchase order that shows that it can connect to the internet. He is on the Electronic Voting Committee. He voted these machines in. He's aware of it. But yet when we tried to get him to sign on to our election integrity bill last year, his comment is, like Philip said, I think they think if they say it over and over enough, we'll believe it, is that these don't connect to the internet. There's no problem with voting machines in Alabama simply because they do not connect to the internet. Now we have this purchase order. What, Wes Allen, what do you have to say about this? And that's going to be our call to action on Monday.
Wow. I noticed, Angela, you were smiling when she was talking, almost to the point of laughing. What was that about?
Nothing. I'm just my probate judge. That's it. I mean, I don't have any other words for him. But I will tell you this, Brandon. Whether or not our elected officials, I mean, I hear us, listen to us, I've decided to take on and just get the word out as much as I can going around. I just kind of created an organization called Election Forward, and we're going around to different groups that we can speak to with the election process. It's not really about politics as much as about the process, showing these ballots going in fake. We spoke to 70 people last week, and people were just, they have no idea. They don't honestly know who is in charge of the elections, to be honest with you.
And you have a video of this. You have a video of this. You showed it at the Moment of Truth Summit. I sat there next to you as the first person at the desk with me, and you showed the video of feeding these ballots through, showing that they would just take regular old copy paper.
Yeah, exactly. And I told that story too, if you'll remember the vending story, how we can, you know, try to put a fake dollar bill in the vending machine and it spits it back out, you know, because it recognizes that it's fake. Well, obviously, you know, we can't get snacks, but we can just, you know, put some fake ballots in and get some votes. So anyway, I'm just pushing forward to, it's just really about public awareness too. And the more that we get this out to the public, I think even the better moving forward as a state, as a county, and I'm just really trying to push this out so that everyone knows. I don't want it to be swept under the rug because that's what they want.
Now, I know we're talking Alabama, Angela and Phil and Melissa and Rebecca, but Alabama basically is a test case for wherever these machines are being used in other parts of the country. So we're not focusing on Alabama and saying to the rest of you guys, you know, go watch another show. We're highlighting Alabama, are we not, guys, to say if this is going on here, it could be going on in your precinct.
That's right, Brandon. And the other thing that we can do in Alabama is if we can get in through discovery and look at perhaps the source code of the machines, that would be very helpful because we haven't been able to do that in other jurisdictions. So that would be a benefit that Alabama could then share with all of the United States to say, here's what the source code says, and everything's clean and everything's wonderful and you can trust the voting machines, or the source code is corrupt. That's one of the things that came up in the Colorado matter in Mesa County, is that our experts were able to say, we're not sure what's happening here. Either it's something inside the machine through source code, or it's some external hacking. But if we can get into the machines here in Alabama and look at the source code, then we can start to determine exactly what's happening.
Wow. Do you have a website you want to give out, Phil?
Well, I don't. I would give out the Lindell Legal Offense Fund website.
Which is Lindell, the short version, lindelllegalfund.org, lindelllegalfund.org. How about you, Melissa?
Brandon, if I can just say this, because, you know, you see Melissa's on here, I'm on here, Jay's on here. There are three other attorneys, six attorneys total. Mike Lindell is incredibly gracious and generous. And I would encourage people to support the fund. Mike supports it, but we need you to support it as well so that we can continue to do this. It's important. So thank you, Brandon, for letting me give that advertisement.
Absolutely. I'm going to show it on the screen here too, guys. And while I do, Melissa, do you have a website you want to give out?
No, I would say the Lindell Legal Fund as well, because, you know, this is about all of us. This isn't about just about the right or the left. This is about our fundamental rights to vote. And Mike he's the tip of the spear. He has push this forward like no one else has. So this isn't about pushing an individual attorney or an individual law firm. I think, you know, go to LindellLegalFund.org, make a contribution, buy a pillow, you know, do something, but support Mike Lindell, because without him pushing all of this, you know, you wouldn't have countless attorneys really fighting for all of us.
Absolutely right. How about you, Rebecca? Do you have a website you want to promote?
Yes, it is focusonamerica.us. So that's focusonamerica.us. And we will have the press conference from yesterday will be on there by tomorrow. So everyone can go and see that and hear the audio on it.
Excellent. Focusonamerica.us. And then finally, Angela, how about you? You have a website?
Not yet. We're about to try to launch one, but we're really new. So we're about to try to get one going though, because I think it'll be important to get all this out.
Do you have an email you want to give out? Because you're speaking. It sounds like you're speaking. If people wanted to invite you to come speak and share this information,
sure.
How would they get a hold of you?
It's truthwinsleeco6@gmail.com.
Okay. You have to give that again. Truth wins.
Okay. That's fine. Truth wins Lee, LEECO 6@gmail.com. And then also on Telegram, we just put a group chat together called Election Forward on Alabama's on Telegram. So
okay.
People can check us out there too.
Okay. I do want to have you give the email one more time for everybody that just went and ran and grabbed
a
pen. Because a lot of people right now just went and grabbed a pen. They're in Alabama.
That's okay. And it's a long one. Sorry about that. So Truth Wins Lee, LEECO6@gmail.com.
All right. Great. Well, you guys are a great panel, and I appreciate all your time and efforts. Thank you for being with us, guys. Hope you have a great weekend. Get some rest. And please let us know as soon as you can what's going on so we can get you back on for an update, will you?
We'll do it.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. Philip, Melissa. Thank you. Philip, Melissa, Rebecca, and Angela. There you go. All right, we are going to go to some folks from South Dakota here in just 1 minute. But before we do, I want to go back to this screenshot, if I can. None of that you just heard would be happening without Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell could only foot the bill for so many legal things, folks. He's got more attorneys than you can imagine. And at some point, I don't care who you are, you're like, wait a minute, I need help, right? So again, please consider LindellLegalFund.org, LindellLegalFund.org. If you want to use a mailing address, you can find the mailing address there on the website. Just click contribute and up will pop. See, when you click, there it is at the bottom. Contribute to that Lindell Legal Fund, Lindell Legal Offense Fund. That's P.O. Box 183, Hudson, Wisconsin, 540-16. All right. Now, another way to support Mike and get something in return is to go to mypillow.com and use that promo code L77. It denotes you're watching the Lindell Report. You can get the slippers for as low as $49.98 with that promo code L77. All of these make great Christmas gifts. The best sheets ever, best sheet prices ever, as low as $29.98 with promo code L77. MyPillow toppers as low as $99.98 with promo code L77. These mattress toppers are amazing, folks. MyPillows as low as $19.98 with promo code L77. Six-piece towel set, regularly $89.96, now as low as $39.98 with promo code L77. You could get a subscription to the coffee, mild, medium, dark roast, the coffee pods. This would make a great Christmas gift for someone that's a good, faithful coffee drinker, which is myself. I think I've already had 4 cups today. But when you get a subscription, you're also going to get the free Go Anywhere pillow. Again, use that promo code L77. We'll go back to the homepage here. Those were the TV specials. Keep going over and you'll see we got the slippers. We mentioned that. The sheets. I think we pretty much mentioned all that. And then, of course, you can go over to mystore.com. Mystore.com. And there's the coffee special. But look at all these other things that are available there. The Home for American Entrepreneurs. There's an energy drink I developed several years ago. Extractivity. That comes with pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, red wine extract, bilberry extract. You can go do your own homework on the benefits of those. And I always throw out the disclaimer. This has not been approved or tested by the FDA and is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But check it out if you're interested. Bleed Stop. We got artwork by Jim Hansel. All kinds of stuff. Just keep clicking Show More Products, and those products will keep popping up from American entrepreneurs. Mike Lindell, giving a home to American entrepreneurs. There you go, folks. Again, use that promo code L77, and you'll be supporting Mike and getting something in return. So do the bulk of your Christmas shopping, would you please, between MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. All right, joining me now are is a collection of citizens from South Dakota. Here we go again, folks. People from the grassroots that are helping to make a difference. And the case is the same over in South Dakota. We're going to be joined by Fred. We're going to be joined also, I think, by two or three other people. Let's bring them all on and we'll get them all introduced at one time. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us, or I should say welcome to the program. Some of you have been here before, some of you not. Let's go down to the bottom left-hand corner. Introduce yourself in the far left corner.
Is that me? I'm Fred Widener from South Dakota.
Hey, Fred. And is that your wife?
Yes, that's my wife, Berdina.
So Fred and Berdina, where in South Dakota are you?
We're from Tripp County, South Dakota. That's in South Central South Dakota.
All right, Fred and Berdina. And our other guest is, excuse me for asking.
Jessica.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, South Jessica. Dakota. You've been a guest with me before, haven't you, Jessica?
Yes, I have.
I think you're the one that taught me about Bonds for the Wind.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jessica. All right, who wants to go first? Jessica, you're the organizer of all this. Why don't you go first and tell us why we have Fred and his lovely wife with us tonight?
Sure. Well, just a quick reminder, I'm Jessica with South Dakota Canvassing, and we have built quite a network across the state of people that care about election integrity. And people have been working in their counties to locally fix their elections. And Fred and Berdina are the perfect example of what can happen when citizens get engaged in their local government. So Fred and Berdina and a large group of citizens from Tripp County, South Dakota, were able to secure a hand count for their 2022 general election, along with, I believe, Fall River, Butte County, and Custer County also did some hand counting. But the hand count seemed to be very important in this election. And Fred was an eyewitness to everything that happened. Him and his wife were big organizers in this process. And the citizens are very active in Tripp County. So I'd just like to have Fred tell his story.
All right, Fred, go right ahead. So, Fred, you were the one, I think you were just at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend. Even Logan said, hey, he looks familiar. I said, well, because you guys were holding last night, and we had bumped you, and I apologize. And Logan said, he looked really familiar. I said, well, he should have. He was just at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend. So glad you guys were there. But, Fred, you're the one that was pushing for a hand count. Who are you asking the hand count for, and did they take a vote? And if so, how did the vote turn out?
Yeah, it started out with wanting to get the cast vote record, and our auditor wouldn't give it. And so we started going to different people to find that out. And then eventually, and she never would get that. We went to the state's attorney. We went to, you know, all the way up the line. And finally, we went to the county commissioners. And by then, we had decided, since they wouldn't give us the cast vote record, we were going to ask if they would hand count the election here. And that was a month before we counted. So 4 weeks before. And our county commission, we did a good job of presenting why we wanted to hand count. And the commissioners voted 5-1 to do that. So they also said that they would possibly run the, after the hand count, and they would send that into the state. Then they would run the ballots through the machine and count them that way. So that's what we did. And I was there to watch the whole thing. Everything went perfect, except it was long. We didn't have enough precincts, so it was a late night. But we got them in there. And Colombe had 356 votes. But when they ran it through the machine only kicked out 281. So we lost 75 ballots. So we were trying to figure out where these ballots all of a sudden didn't show up. You know, they were gone. And so we went home that night and gave up. The auditor, her crew was there, and they couldn't figure it out. Eventually, they called and said they showed up in Clearfield, which is about 40 miles away on the other side of the county. Well, that has not been true to what we can figure out, because I called the commissioner of that of Clearfield, and she said 140 people voted there. Their names are in the poll book, and that's what they sent in for the hand count. And that she went up and collected the count, the official ballot from the machine, and it said that it was 140 ballots was counted. So they were not counted in Clearfield, and they were not counted in Clome. So right now we're missing 175 ballots.
75 ballots.
Yeah, 75. We're missing 75 ballots that just got lost, and we don't know where they're at. We counted them, hand counted them, and we got signature for all of them, but the machine says we're 75 ballots short. Now, wait a minute, let me just stop right there, Fred.
Does that mean that the machine was just adding votes?
Taking them away.
Yep, we were 75 short.
Do you know who they took them away from?
Yes, Clome Township. Clome Precinct. And the county auditor said, well, it added them on to Clearfield Precinct. But that's, as far as we can tell, that's not the case, because we have the count there in precinct, in the precinct of Clearfield, and it's only 140. And if it added them on there, it should say 215, but it does not.
Wow. Do you want to say anything about this, Berdina?
Well, we just are waiting. You know, maybe there's an answer, and maybe they can give us an answer on, you know, next week. But at this point in time, we're not really seeing the answer. I guess I just want to say that it's just kind of proof that it's everywhere, because we are so remote here, and we're 100 miles from a Walmart here where we live.
Well, let me tell you something. If you're 100 miles from a Walmart, you know you're remote.
And so, you know, and maybe it's nothing, and maybe there's an answer. We're not, you know, but it's just something we're investigating.
Okay. Well,
there's a couple more things I'd like to say, though. There, we asked if the machines were working okay, and they said no, they were stopping all the time, because it would say that multiple ballots was going through it and it couldn't count them, so it would stop, and then it would say clean the ballots out and start over. So that was one problem. It also said that it couldn't read the mark up in the corner. That was another problem they had. They had to remark some of the ballots so that the machine would read it. And there was the hand stamp, the fact that it stopped all the time, and then it lost 75 ballots. I don't trust the machine, and that's what we started out saying, that we didn't trust it. And this is, unless they come up with some pretty good answers, we're pretty sure they can't be trusted.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jessica, this is just one precinct we're talking about, correct?
That's right. One precinct.
Okay. And how many precincts are in the whole state of South Dakota?
I don't know that, but there are 13 in our county. So there's 13 precincts in Tripp County, and in one of those is where the problem is.
Do you
think the rest of them were fair?
Okay.
They were off a little bit, but, you know, just a few votes one way or the other.
But that's still a problem, because that all adds up on a statewide basis. It can be the difference between someone winning or not winning. That's supposed to.
That's exactly right. And we have.
When you pay your taxes to South Dakota, I'm guessing they don't tell you, well, you were close enough. I'm pretty much, they go right down to the penny. So if they want you to go right down to the penny on your stupid taxes, then they ought to be able to do it on our important votes.
That's right. That's 20% in that one precinct. We lost 21% of the vote. I mean, that we can't account for yet.
Maybe it'll show
and,
up.
And here's the thing that I wanted to say is we voted for marijuana, to legalize marijuana. We had two marijuana bills last time, and they both won. The medical marijuana and also recreational marijuana. our governor threw the one out for recreational, and we revoted on that this time, and it lost this time. So why did it win last time and it lost this time? In our township, in Tripp County, it lost by 10-1 ballot, 10-1. So not that wasn't that much over the state. It was 50 some to 40 some in the state, but at least we didn't legalize marijuana here this time. So
in South Dakota,
that's what really pushed me. I just can't believe that anybody would be for legalizing recreational marijuana for our kids and grandkids. I mean, what is the matter with people?
That's exactly right. Jessica, what are your thoughts on hearing all this before we go?
Well, I think that just proves, you know, what the citizens have been saying in the counties across the state, that they just want a double check of these machines because, you know,
well, why don't we just get rid of the machines and go by paper?
That's right.
We're one of five states in the entire country that doesn't do any kind of a post-election audit. So we are completely flying blind in South Dakota. So these citizens are saying, we want control of our elections again. You know, we've contracted our rights away with ESNS, and the citizens want their right to vote.
And you're an ESNS state. Your machines, like Alabama, are mostly ESNS, huh?
100% ESNS, yes. Wow. And I just want to point out something very important before we leave. Fred is a veteran, and, you know, we just
And Veterans Day today, so thank you, Fred, and all the veterans. Thank you to all the veterans.
Yes. Thank you.
And thank you, Fred, for what you did for our country. And I heard you say something so beautiful today. And I'm just wondering if you can't repeat that for all the viewers on Lindell TV.
I just said I was willing to die for my country. I spent 2 years in the Vietnam era. I didn't end up going to Vietnam, but I had orders to Vietnam, and Nixon announced that they were going to pull the troops out, so I didn't have to go. But I spent 2 years in the service. And I just can't believe that people aren't willing to spend one night counting ballots every other year. I mean, come on, what's that trade-off there? 2 years versus one night every 2 years.
Or the number of many that came home sick from Agent Orange or who knows what else, or came home missing a leg or an arm or an eye, or some who never came home alive at all.
My father-in-law was one of them in Vietnam. He was a tunnel rat in Vietnam, and he came home scarred for the rest of his life, and we lost him about a year ago. And so, you know, honoring him on Veterans Day, that's why I care so much. And for people like Fred, who have sacrificed so much for us, the least we can do is honor, you know, we can't just let our country fall apart. We need to stand up and you know, take the torch from men like them, from our fathers and grandfathers, and carry on and secure freedom for our children and their children.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Fred. We love you and all of those like you who have sacrificed for us. And Berdina, what a tribute on Veterans Day. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Berdina and Fred, thank you so much. Jessica, real quick, do you have a website you want to give out of your organization?
If you're in South Dakota, we're sdcanvassing.com, like South Dakota Canvassing with two S's.com. There is tons of information on there. There's more happening every day. And stay tuned to this Tripp County situation. The two county commissioners in Tripp County cannot account for the missing 75 ballots.
Will you keep us
posted? Did that happen across South Dakota? We don't know.
Exactly. So, will you keep us posted, Jessica?
We will. Thank you so much, Brandon. We appreciate you too.
Yeah, let me know if you need to come back, Fred and Berdina and Jessica. Thank you guys so much. Great show tonight, folks. Again, Mike out on business. Glad to sit in for him. Again, we ask you to support LindellLegalFund.org, LindellLegalFund.org, to keep these lawyers in there fighting and representing these patriots like you've heard from tonight. And again, go to MyPillow.com. Use that promo code L77 for savings. And at the same time, you're supporting us. Everybody wins. Stay tuned for the Worldview Report. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.